Hey everyone, welcome to My Two Cents with Tawanda Harris. This is a podcast dedicated to educators, for educators, and by educators. Yes, it's all about encouraging, it's all about sharing strategies, it's all about going on an educational journey with each other. You are not alone, and I hope that when you finish listening to this podcast, you feel like you went on a journey with educators around the world. Thank you for tuning in to My Two Cents. I recently posted on Instagram that I have heard of amazing stories of creativity and innovation during this time. But unfortunately, in this space of virtual learning, students don't get to choose what their home life environment would be, nor their home situation. It just is what it is. And students have to work through that while learning. I work with so many schools that are very limited in their internet capabilities. So let me just bottom shelf it. There are areas in our city, and I'm sure in your city, that hotspots just don't reach. The internet is just not there. As I think about this upcoming school year with the high possibility of a virtual learning space yet again, my hope is that students aren't inundated with computer programs, online assignments, or activities. My hope is that we as educators are very intentional in seeing our students, hearing their concerns, and fostering a genuine love of learning, even in a virtual space. I had the awesome opportunity to speak with Tatanisha, also known as Counselor Lady, and we had a great conversation that was centered around seeing our students, hearing their voices, making connections, however that may look, and also being able to step back and take time for yourself. Can you share your journey with us, your teacher journey, and just how it led you to counseling?
Okay. I've always loved the field of psychology, counseling, and how people actually think. In college, I studied psychology, and I minored in early education only because my mother said that. It was really, really, really that kind of was like, you need to be working with children. So I would do that in my spare time. I did some nonprofit work. I also did like a year of teaching, and I was like, wow, love teachers, but it's something else that was calling me. And so I went back to school to get my graduate degree in school counseling after I had an internship with Hands On Atlanta, where I was working with students just as an assistant level, but I just fell in love with it. And I was like, whoa, okay, I can sit and talk to them. This is, what is that called? Counseling.
I want to do that.
And so I fell in love with it and didn't look back. It's wonderful. I do it even outside of my counseling in school. I do it outside of those hours too. I just love it.
I mean, I definitely can tell just looking at your Instagram page, you really speak to both students and teachers, and that is very much needed, especially now more than ever, to really talk about, you know, your feelings, acknowledging your feelings, and just, I guess, finding tools or, you know, getting tips on how to, just how to deal with those feelings. So if I'm just kind of, as I scroll through your messages or your posts, a common theme pops up, and it's really just sticks out to me. Your feelings matter. not just for students, but also for teachers. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that this is important to acknowledge that idea?
Because we are in a service field. We are always serving, a lot of times putting, you know, our needs before our students' needs, and other needs before our own. And you can kind of get lost in that and burnt out in that. In the same way students need advocates, so do educators. We pour out a lot and sometimes are not replenished. And so a lot of times when I'm posting resources or I'm posting things like that, I'm talking to myself too, encouraging myself. It's very important to realize that what I do matters, who I am, what I'm doing matters. Because it gives you a sense of fulfillment, and that way you can go on and continue to advocate for everybody else. But you got to encourage yourself first. And we don't do that a lot. So it leaves us kind of empty, mentally exhausted. And so as you advocate for others, got to do that for you too. It is super important so you can be the best for everybody else. Definitely. And we don't do that a lot.
I agree. Mm-hmm. We keep going.
Of course, and that's who we are. It's who we are.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. What types of things have you been doing in this virtual space to help students acknowledge that their, you know, feelings matter?
Wow. The demographic I work with, we were not virtually ready. I can go ahead and be very transparent. We weren't virtually ready. So the turnaround for us to get virtually ready seems like even here in the last week of school, we are still turning around. We did have students who lived in, you know, we could give them hotspots, we could give them laptops, but we had students that lived in a technology dead zone. Yeah. Where, you know, the Comcast was like, wow, okay, we can't even do anything with this. Let's try some other things.
Wow.
So that was a hit in the face, especially for educators, because we're so touchy-feely. Mm-hmm. We're really trying to get to them, really trying to connect, but not to hear from some of the students in like 2 weeks, you know, maybe doing drive-bys by their houses, or, you know, it was very challenging. And so I had to step back and realize that all I could do was just be there. Mm-hmm. All I could do was just reach out how I could. I tried to get very creative. I know that some of our students play Fortnite. Some of our students play video games.
Uh-huh.
And I actually, my kids here helped me log in.
I saw one of your posts. I thought it was the cutest thing ever.
Like, everybody was like, oh, that's so creative. Oh, that's so cute. And I'm in my mind, I'm like, I'm trying to talk to some students and make sure they're eating. Game,
but I can check on them this way.
Right. And I just, you know, I thank God for them, because my kids, I was like, well, play. So I look like I know how I'm playing. but it's crazy, because I was really actually able to connect and talk to them. So I had to go back and think of, what are they on? I know they're on Instagram. I know they watch YouTube a lot. I know a lot of the parents are on Class Dojo. So really just doing what I can for my demographic. It was really hard because, you know, if you look on social media, a lot of the teachers were like, oh yeah, you know, oh my class, and we did this today, and mm-hmm. we did a parade, and we did all this, and that wasn't my experience. Uh-huh. And so I felt less than, and you know, it just kind of makes, it's like, oh no, I'm failing them. Uh-huh. But really I had to stop comparing and just mm-hmm. meet my demographic almost like where they were.
Either away from social media at the beginning, because everyone's situation going into this virtual space was totally different.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes.
So when you think about inequities, you're like, wow. Okay.
Hold right.
on. Let's pause for a moment.
And right.
I can be for my students. I get
right. It. And it was very emotional, because you do realize just how uneven and unbalanced and inequitable everything is. And it's a gut punch. Yes. Because we knew that our demographic, you know, we had some, you know, hard times, but you know, it's like, wait, this is real. Like, mm-hmm. they really can't get to this. We do need to make sure, you know, that they're eating. We do need to make sure. So it was just, it was a reality check. And I'm going to be honest, it did leave us, you know, some of us feeling like, oh my God, what can I do?
Yeah.
So yeah, which on the other side really connected us. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I guess that's the silver lining in it, but, just continuing to reach out any way we could. Mm-hmm. Also providing some adult social emotional SEL for our teachers that were having a fit.
I saw your husband, he was DJing, doing a live DJ.
He was
pretty cool.
And that's for me.
You shared it.
You know, I will ask him. I'll ask him to play because he does DJ on the side, and you know, does parties and stuff, and has done virtual parties, which has been so cool. Even did something for our school for teacher appreciation. But I hate to be selfish, but I just share that.
Uh-huh. That was the post I saw on the teacher.
That's for me.
That's pretty cool. But hey, everyone can benefit, just like our story is sometimes for us. You know, our story is we experience it, but when we share it with others, it helps them as well get through. So thank
right,
you.
Right, it does.
Thank you for sharing your
and that's what I do
with us. We appreciate that.
And you know, that's kind of what I do with everything. If I see something, an article, a saying, or something that kind of encourages me or sparks me, I share, not to get on everybody's nerves, but I just share because I know that it may bless someone else.
Yeah.
So yeah. And in this time, we definitely need it. And I, you know, you have to realize it's okay to not be okay. And mm-hmm. a lot of us are not okay as we appear to be, yeah. but we're not. We're taking it minute by minute.
What advice would you give? You know, teachers, we're used to in the classroom creating this culture of love, this culture of support, this culture of being heard and being seen in our classroom. But in this virtual space, of course, this has been very challenging, not only for the adult in the classroom, but also for the child. But now we go to, we're winding down the school year. What advice would mm-hmm. you give to teachers to continue to connect with their students as it ends and we're still in this virtual space and possibly returning in a virtual space? What advice would you give to try to stay connected?
There's really not an overall... There's really not an overall rule to this. You have to know the needs of your population. And you stay connected how you know to stay connected. Whatever is working for you now. Get as creative as you can, but give yourself grace and don't be so hard on yourself for not being able to connect to some.
Yes.
And that's the biggest thing. We are so hard on ourselves, and all you can do is try to do what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a great thing because educators know their students. Because if you're in this field, you are intuitive and you love your students. So you know what works and what does not work.
Yes.
So stay in your lane and with what works for your students. Reach out to other colleagues. I love the profession because colleagues are willing to share. And they might be able to share something that you hadn't heard before. Be open to new ideas. I say give yourself grace and just try everything because that's what I've been doing. And some things work, some things don't. You just try again.
Definitely.
But definitely give yourself grace because there, you know, we have a lot of students that are moving right now in transition. We have a lot of students that are just over it. They were over it before the last mm-hmm. week of school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, you think of just families that have been affected economically because of the closing and closing of businesses, right, that they may no longer attend your school.
Come exactly.
Because they're, exactly, you know, moving in with someone or they're leaving their apartment. And so you're right. All of those things have to be considered. But what's definitely funny, you said there's no manual, but that was the manual. That manual can be applied to everything, you know, stay connected however you can be connected. Continue doing what works with your students. So what tips would you give to schools that are struggling to connect with their students virtually?
Okay. Just to continue to do what they're doing. Some, you know, classes, because I started a Google Classroom, some classes would have 5, some 10, some 2. Mm-hmm. And just to, you know, use as much energy with the 2 as you do the 10.
That's true.
Because you are just, you're doing what you can do. And it's different for everybody. Nobody knows how to pandemic this. We've never done this before. Mm-hmm. It's almost, you know, like raising kids. You don't know until they're boom, they're here.
You get a manual and then it changes with the next child. You have to rip it up and start again.
Exactly. So that's how each day is. It's like, well, maybe that didn't work. Okay, well, let me do this. Maybe let me add an incentive. So just, you know, continue to do what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You know, be easy on yourself.
So what keeps you, I think you kind of answered this, what keeps you motivated as an educator? You know, what inspires you to go above and beyond, even in this space?
You know, it's definitely the love of advocacy. I just, you know, I know that every student has a voice. Every student deserves to be heard. And I really take that seriously. And I take my career seriously, and I feel like, you know, it is my duty to be an advocate and do all I can for that student. So that keeps me motivated. The small wins, really, the light bulb moments.
Yes, I like that.
Small just knowing I can, somebody is out there and somebody this might help. Or somebody this might change for the good. So that keeps me, motivated.
Well, that yes, that's good. Now, as we transition into summer months,
they're going to have to, and I'm talking to them, talking to me, because I realize I'm going to have to do this.
And me too.
I'm going to have to shut down for a little bit. It's different for everybody. Some people it's a day, sometimes it's a week, maybe a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks, but I'm going to have to kind of unplug from everything for a minute just to get myself together and take a breath and not feel guilty about it.
Yes.
Because it's virtual learning and we did not have the traditional one-on-one face-to-face interaction, it's hard to do that, because I have even said I was going to keep my Google Classroom open and post social emotional materials in there just for parents and students to go in at their leisure. Mm-hmm. And even with that, it still can give me a break, because I'm not just trying to connect and I'm trying to text and I'm trying to virtual, you know, it's just going to have to be an unplug, whatever that means for people, because it's different for people. Unplugging is different for everyone. It's not what you see on TV or on social media for everybody. Mm-hmm. It is, it's different.
It's perfect on social media, right? Everyone has the perfect house, the perfect backyard, and
yeah, not true.
Yoga and exercise. Everything's so perfect in the picture.
Yeah, not true. Right. And I mean, just
not true.
And it's important not to shame people, you know, either way. Like, don't shame people if they're not being productive. But then again, don't shame people if they have found this time very productive, because mm-hmm. some people have. It's just whatever works for you. Mm-hmm. And I know that for me, I have to kind of shut down for a minute from schoolwork and everything school, just to mm-hmm. kind of recalibrate, reset, and get it back together, and then just go back at my leisure. But that's what I would tell everybody, because it's been hard on everybody. It's been difficult, whether you've had full classrooms, total 100% connection, or whether you've had 5% connection. It still has been an adjustment. So allow yourself to adjust, whatever that means.
I agree. So you've given us a lot to think about, even when we're talking about connecting with our students and being able to unplug. That is crucial. So thank you so much for sharing your tips.
Thank you for asking me. This is awesome. Please continue to do what you're doing, because it's amazing. You know, our educators need the support. So yes. I follow you, and I just appreciate you and humbled by you asking. So thank you so much.
Oh, it is. The pleasure is all mine. So where can we find you on social media?
I'm on Twitter and Instagram as CounselorLady08.
Okay.
As well as I have a YouTube channel, Mindfulness Maya, where I post, named after my daughter, where post mindfulness videos. I'm on there sometimes. And then my creative children have helped me create Mindfulness Maya and her brother Carlton, who actually talk and discuss about different topics for students.
I love them. So. Yes. What is your YouTube channel is
Mindfulness Maya.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. Yes. I love the little cartoons. Those are really cool.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much again for, you know, helping educators and giving your two cents on, you know, how we can be better as educators, just as a community and all. You're right.
Definitely.
We are learners. We learn from each other. We're encouraged by each other. We're motivated by each other. So thank you so much for just giving your nuggets of wisdom.